Wow. I wasn't going to go to Barcelona. I thought I made a decision that I wasn't going to go. And I called Latasha Brown, who was already over there. And then I decided I would rather die of coronavirus than Latasha Brown. So it was awesome, by the way. It was an awesome time in Barcelona. And we can tell you about it sometime. We will, actually. But in Luke chapter 22, by the way, are there any of the Ecuador young people who went with me to Ecuador? There they are. Oh, man. That was like instant team. I don't know how in the world that worked, but thank you guys. You guys are awesome. Luke chapter 22 and verse 32 says this. Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he says, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. But when you are converted, is that what it says? Yeah. And when you are converted, Jesus has spent the last 3.5 years with this man, Peter. And I can imagine Peter saying, like, what, I'm not, wait, I thought I was converted. When you are converted. Like, have you ever been busted? I don't mean like by the police. Okay, not that kind of busted. I mean like broke. No, and I don't mean like out of money. Okay, I mean like you're not working right. Like you need to be fixed. Okay, not that kind of fix. Not like you do to your dog. Okay, like, but... This is not going the way I thought it was going to go, Pastor. Wait. Okay. Maybe it is the coronavirus. I don't know. By the way, the second song that in the worship service that we sang there was like, you called... Or I called and you answered. And that's basically, isn't that the story of our lives? That's like the story of our lives. Like we called and he answered. And we called about Barcelona and he answered. And we called about, you know, South America and he answered. And we just keep calling and he keeps on answering. Peter says... like, what? It doesn't say that, but I can imagine he's going like, what? Like, when you are converted, when you're made right, when you are made right. Wait, I just spent 3.5 years. I'm not right yet? Well, and by the way, and Jesus, and you're leaving. Okay, you're leaving, so... how do I get made right? How does this conversion process happen? And we just talked about it. We gather together because listen, Jesus, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son and his son gave his life. And then 1 John 3:16, let's read it. 1 John 3:16, because I think this is how the conversion thing happens. It says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life. That's referring back to John 3:16. But then he says this, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Like, Like, this is actually how this is how the conversion happens. Like, and I can imagine Peter looking, saying, okay, but like, I need to be converted, but you're leaving. And like, he's looking at the other disciples and they're looking at him and they're like, you know, like, wait, Jesus. And didn't Jesus say, remember when Judas, the other Judas, not Iscariote, said to Jesus, like, well, how is it that you have manifested yourself to us and not to the world? And basically Jesus says, like, well, like, if you love me, then my Father and I will come into you and we will abide with you. You will love my word and we will abide with you. And then you will be one of the sources of my conversion. We are being converted because of the body of Christ. Like, we lay down our lives. Jesus said, by the way, you know, one of the things we've been saying in Argentina recently is, you know, the world thinks that the church is on the earth trying to go to heaven, right? The church is on the earth, and those people they're meeting on a Wednesday night because they're trying to get into heaven. Yeah. Well, they got it wrong, right? Like, we're actually, Ephesians 2:6 and Philippians 3:20, we're actually in heaven, and our citizenship is in heaven, and we're trying to get to the world. Like, whether it's Barcelona or Baltimore or Buenos Aires. I just read that they're going to quarantine me when I get back into the country for 14 days. Whatever. I don't know. God knows, right? This is amazing. Like, we are in heaven now. We're not waiting to go to heaven. We're not trying to go to heaven. We're not trying. But maybe it's better to wait to think, have the idea I'm waiting to go to heaven than I'm trying to. But both are lazy theology. Basically, it's like the idea is like, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to wait until Jesus, you know, takes me. Well, we're missing the point then. We're in heaven now, and we have a mission to the earth. We have a mission. And so we come in here, we get converted, we go out there, and it's the gospel. It's the glorious gospel. Amen.
Would you stand with me? So I don't have to stand alone. Romans chapter 12. Pastor Stan really got converted because one time I was with him at a conference and he was preaching in shorts and now he's got pants. So that's really, has been a great conversion in his life. Now he just goes, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm going to speak about actually the same subject, which we didn't even talk about being transformed. So Romans chapter 12, we know this, I'm sure. It really spoke to me today about the importance of being transformed by God. Can you say that? Transformed by God. I'm not going to be conformed to this world. Say that. But I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Thank you. Verse 1, I beseech you. And that means I really beg you. It's a begging word. It's like from the heart of the Apostle Paul. I beseech you, parakaleo is the word, brethren, by the mercies of God, not by your own efforts, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, translated in Greek, your logical worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Father, thank you today. Thank you that you sent your Son, and then you sent the Holy Spirit into our lives We thank you, God, for changing us. From glory to glory, he's changing me. We thank you for this ministry that throughout this entire world, we are bringing a message and a life that transforms people. Bless our night tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Shibley family, for being in the front row. Hallelujah. Right there. They can cheer me on, right? Listen to this. I was reading, just thinking about change today. And there is a type of change that the enemy tries to produce. And it's being conformed to this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, talks about another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. And then in verses 13, 14, and 15, it says, don't marvel at this, for Satan transforms himself as an angel of light. Okay, he changes into an angel of light. So there is one called Satan with his demons that are trying to change people, but that change has nothing to do with God. You know, when an addict gets delivered, and thank God for that, from drugs or alcohol through a system or program that's really not from God, and we are thankful that a person is off drugs, but that can be very deceptive because now they think that something other than God can change them. And so maybe they've gotten that, but there's so many other areas of their life that need to be transformed. I had this idea that when I stopped after 17 years of narcotics use and alcohol abuse, that was, wow, I got changed. Little did I know how much more was needed and how much more today is still needed to be changed. So the word that is used for the enemy's change is the word being conformed or transformed by the enemy, and it's souschematizo, which means an outward change taking place. Now, for many years in Massachusetts, we ran two homes, one for men and one for women, that were involved with taking in people that were either coming out of prison or they had a drug addiction or an alcohol problem or some kind of addiction. And we would see people change outwardly, and maybe you go into prison, you can see that people stop using this and stop using that, but nothing has really taken place within the individual. Nothing has taken place at all. I remember one incident when three men who were with us, I have their names right in my brain, but I won't say them because I don't know if they're listening somewhere. Maybe they are. And they would take my car every Saturday morning. I told the story before, and I would come back like glistening, amazing, washed, the wheels waxed. It was incredible, the job that was done on the car. Then the police came to me and said, your car has been used in two armed robberies. And I said, Al, Willie, and Kenny, could I talk with you? I said, you know, if you're going to rob places, just don't use my car. You know, oh, Pastor, we're so sorry. You know, this is just the way we always live. You know, we always do these things. I'm thinking to myself, will these guys ever change? By the way, one's a pastor today. One is pastoring a church in Boston, Massachusetts. It's amazing. And so change. Listen to this. Not to bore anybody, but I read this today. This is what was happening in Corinth, the church. There was division, party spirits. They were elevating baptism. They were foolish disputers. They were not wise. They were wise, mighty, and noble in their own life. They were glorying in their flesh. They used enticing words. They were carnal, envious, lived in strife, division, walked as men, defiled the temple of God, were deceived, vain, gloried in themselves, judged Paul, lived in darkness, proud, puffed up, full, reigning without God, not following God. They had leaven, malice, wickedness, fornication in their group, idolatry, drunkards, extortioners, covert shame, wrong, defrauding, unrighteous, deceived, idle, effeminates, abusers, thieves. There's another 20 after that. Are you kidding me? Is this church going to change? How do you change that? 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. And we all, with an open face, beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord, are what? Are changed from glory to glory. If this group of people can change, this church can, this is in the church. This is going on in the church. And Paul writes them a very encouraging letter. Even 2 Corinthians is filled with comfort, encouragement, strength, and love. It's incredible. And he said in his own mind, knowing God, that it's possible for this church to change. Hallelujah. I don't care what's going on in my life or your life or in this world. There's an unbelievable opportunity for every single person to be changed by God. Amen? You know, many times I've experienced this in my life, God doesn't change another person that I'm either working with or whatnot is happening because he's looking to change me in the situation. Have you ever noticed that situations, they seem not to change, and you pray and you believe and you hope and all this and nothing's changing? It's because God wants to change me, not the situation. Are you with me? God changing people. This is incredible. I was thinking about James and John. These are two amazing apostles. Do you know how they began? Sons of thunder. Boanerges. That means they had violent tempers. They won't receive you. Let's call down fire from heaven and kill all of them. That's a great message. That's a gospel message. There was a kill everybody. Luke chapter 9. Everybody should die. Then they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, this guy over here is doing miracles and he's not with us. They were exclusive. Not only were they vindicated with wild tempers, they lived in exclusivity and they were intolerant. Are you with me? Then they had ambition. Can we have, send mama to ask this question. Can we have the seats on your right hand and your left hand? Ambitious. Then they were proud. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest among, you know? They were proud. God changed these two men. You must be joking. Vindictive, intolerant, explosive tempers, proud, ambition. It's incredible. God took them and through fellowship with them and ministering to him his word. Amen. Changed by yes, the Holy Spirit. But we read in Romans chapter 12, renewed in the spirit of your mind, Ephesians 4:23 also. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. My mind gets renewed. I come to church, what happens? I open the Bible, what happens? Are you here? Hallelujah. I open the Bible, and I read the Bible, and I come and I hear preaching and the word of God, and I'm around the body, and my mind is getting renewed. I'm being changed. Hallelujah. I'm being changed. Just by coming, maybe I don't even know it or recognize it at times. But God is changing me. I come and I've got this idea, and as I've been told by my mother, that I'm the deliverer. I had this miraculous deliverance from all the firstborn dying in Egypt. And I come out and I'm going to be the deliverer, and I'm going to take it into my own hands, and I'm going to kill somebody. And I thought that they would have known that I was the deliverer. And God says, Moses, come with me. We're going to go over here for about 40 years. And you and I are going to have a great fellowship meeting. We're going to get together. We're going to be together. And it's going to be me and you. And you're going to come out of this, rather than an oratorical genius, a stuttering, insecure person that is now available for the call of God. Are you with me? Come apart with me. Come apart with me. Many times things happen in our lives and we wonder what's really going on. And it's just God. He wants to change me. You can ask my wife, but don't, because she won't confess it. But I'm one of the most impatient persons you ever met in your life. No. I don't know who that was. I don't even want to lick there. I mean, I'm at stoplights going like, how long is this? When it's supposed to be only be a minute. Why is this light still red, you know? I know. But I'm growing. Amen? I'm growing in that. I mean, God changing us. And here is a whole group of people that need to understand that it will only be by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit changes people. We can put them into programs. We can have expectations. We can think that if this just happens, have you ever tried this yourself or been around people that try to engineer change? Now, if I could just get my husband to be around you more, he might get worse. I don't know. They try to engineer change. And I understand the heart behind that. They want to see change. But change comes through the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the grace of God. Amen? All things, listen to this verse. All things are these verses. All things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, right? Though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, but worketh a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We are changed by abundant grace. We get grace from God, God's nature and character. And God comes in and people are transformed. How does Ruth get changed? How does Rahab the harlot? I was thinking of some women in the Bible today. Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba and Lydia, and on it goes. They get transformed. They are changed people. And this is what God says in us. He doesn't look at where I'm at. He sees who I am in his Son. And then through seeing through the finished work, loving me, giving me grace, giving me the Word of God, giving me the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I am being changed. Amen? Say it. I'm being changed by God. It doesn't. And by the way, sometimes I don't have an evaluation of what's taking place. What's really going on in the life. Are you with me? We've seen so many people in our ministry around the world, how the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the grace of God has transformed the people's lives. Transformed. They all have their own story. You have your own story tonight. And God says, I want to continue for this change to be taking place. All you have to do is be a receiver. Amen? Just be a receiver of the ministry of the Word, the ministry of the Spirit, and the grace of God, and keep receiving, and your life and my life will be continually transformed. Look at John Mark. Think about John Mark. He wrote Mark's gospel eventually. What happened? Paul says, get him out of here. I don't want him with us. He deserted us in Acts 13. What happened? How did he go from deserting the Apostle Paul to eventually writing the Gospel of Mark? With Peter. How'd that happen? Well, it's interesting how it took place. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. Peter says, who, as Pastor Stan said, was converted. Peter took John Mark. He says, greet my son Mark. So now Peter has got John Mark. Isn't it awesome? A denier is going to disciple a denier. One who's had victory over denying the Lord now is going to disciple the man who walked away from the gospel. And he says, my son Mark greets you. And what happens? Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:11, bring Mark, John Mark, with you. He's profitable for the ministry. I want him to come to me in prison because John Mark is changed. Something's happening in his life. And sometimes we can look at ourselves and look at people and say, I give up. Yeah, it's about time you gave up. I give up. Yeah, give up. Like, put them into the hand of God. Amen. Pray for them. Love them. Minister to them. Be available to them. But God changes people. Amen. God changes Moses. God changed the idolater and made him the father of our faith. He was an idolater in the Ur of the Chaldeans. God took him. God changed the deceiver, trickster, swindler, liar, Jacob, and made him, Israel, one who has power with God. Who changed Jacob? Change himself? You ever try to change yourself? Huh? Having fun? Having fun trying to change yourself? Huh? I'm going to get better. I'm going to become a good person. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And God says, yeah, okay. And by the way, Sometimes you make these efforts and change takes place, but it's not from God. It becomes something very deceptive. Because now it's change that's taken place without God, which will somehow be used in my life to think that this procedure works. And then on and on and on it goes. You know, just a short testimony, in 1976, I was sick and tired of myself. Hello? Did you ever get sick and tired of yourself? The old sin nature. Well, I wasn't saved. I tried everything to find peace, even to the point there was money. I tried drugs. I tried alcohol. I tried a criminal life. Forget that part. And then I said, I'm going to Switzerland, because if I can get out of America, I can, maybe something will happen in my life. I went to Switzerland, and I'm walking in the streets of Switzerland, and I find I'm still miserable. I'm still me. Nothing's happened. Location didn't do it. If I just moved the... I won't say a state. Somebody just kind of rebuked me the other day for mentioning a state once on Grace Hour, a certain state. If I just move back to this place, or over to this place, or to this place, or I go back to the woods of Finland, things will change. Location didn't do it at all. Changing friends didn't do it. Getting more education didn't do it. Hello? Getting a better job didn't do it. Having more money didn't do it. God does the changing. Amen? And I know I came to the end of myself with an open Bible and a gun. And I said, if you're there and you're real and you don't do something, tonight's my last night to live. And you know what happened? God changed me. I got saved that night, January 6, 1976. God did the changing. And that was only the beginning. That's the foundation. But now we have an opportunity to be changed day by day, moment by moment, as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so we can be in a marriage, or we can look at our children or something like that, and we could say, hey, you gotta change, 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 change. And God's going, wait, 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 pray, 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 be. Be who you are in Christ and watch them change. I'll do the changing. I'll do the transforming of their lives. And it's incredible what can take place. And we look at people that are in bondage to drugs and in bondage to alcohol, in bondage to pornography, in bondage to a lifestyle without God, in bondage to success, in bondage to failure. And we say, what can happen? And they look in so many directions as they're looking for change, because they know they need to be changed. And they look in the direction and nothing takes place. Something might happen, but nothing takes place inwardly. They can even be conformed, but not what? Not transformed. Not transformed by the renewing of the mind. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for grace. Thank you, God, for love. The love of God changes people. How does Ephesus change? Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And how, when they stop receiving love, how they change right back to where they used to be. It's incredible. Let's be a people, as we think tonight, available for God's life to minister to us and to receive from God's life and say, that God, I can be changed in this area. And it's coming clean before God and say, God, I need help in this area. And you're the only one that can change me. And we have all kinds of natural changes that take place in life. My wife asked me tonight, like something about putting my sock on. She wanted to help me put like one sock on. I said, old age, it's happening, isn't it? It's awesome, really. I don't look at it in a negative way, but have you noticed that there's changes taking place? Have you noticed that? Huh? The things you used to, I was thinking about myself when I used to do sprints. I used to do 33 50-yard sprints in 7 seconds at a time. I can't even walk 50 yards. No. I can. I'm just joking. No, but I'm thinking, something changed. Something happened. What happened here? You know? A few operations, a few things that go wrong with hips and knees and ankles. And yet, we realize that changes are taking place. What's going on? What's taking place? I remember when I used to have black hair. Some of you can say, I remember when I used to have hair. I remember this and I remember that. And things are changing. And we are facing many changes in life that take place. But they should never pull me away from that which is produced by God himself. Amen? That which is produced by God himself. And this is so key. We just pray, God, help us. We want to be people that are transformed by a renewed mind, transformed by the Holy Spirit, transformed by abundant grace. And then we can see our lives just being changed by God. And when I know that happens and I believe that that happens, that means anybody in any situation. Is there somebody in your mind that you hope would change other than yourself? Yes, but you know what? God can do that. Amen? We can pray and we can be receivers of who God is. And we can show them it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. I was thinking about two of the women that were with the Charles. I don't know, some of you are not that old, but you don't remember the Charles Manson murders. Some of you remember that? Those vicious murders that took place. Two of the girls are born again. And they're walking with God in prison, and they're living for God. Something happened. They were what? Transformed. They were changed. What does America need? Not to be conformed, but to be what? Transformed. Politics can't change you. More education can't change you. Better job can't change you. Making more money can't change you. Being around people that are perfect in the natural can't change you. No. Change happens by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Why? Because the only one that can change you is the one who stays the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, only the unchanging one can change me. And this is so key. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you that you change us. You changed the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road in Acts 9. That was amazing. That was amazing. An amazing change. You changed our lives. One day we met Jesus Christ and our lives were changed. Transformed. Thank you, God. Peter was changed. David, changed by God from an adulterer and a murderer to the king. The king who would write the Bible, changed by God. The finished work changes us. We thank you. We thank you that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of all lights, in whom there is no variableness. He never changes, nor shadow of turning. What a verse that is. We thank you tonight, Lord Jesus. If you are here and you've never received Jesus Christ, either here or you're watching somewhere in this world, simply say, God, change me. Change me, transform me. Give me your mind, your spirit by your grace. I desire to be changed. I've tried. It was nothing but futility in trying to change myself. Change me, God. Change me, God. That's your prayer. Just say, Jesus, change me. I want to be born from above, born again. Change me. Just acknowledge God in some way. If you're here, your hand up. If you're on the internet, just say yes to God. And for all of us, as believers, oh, we desire to be changed. This world is trying, and Daniel, he said, we're going to change your language, change your learning, change your food, to change your king, and then change your God. And Daniel said no. He purposed in his heart, not going to do it. You're not going to change us. We are only changed by God himself. We're not going to be conformed. We're going to be transformed. And they became a testimony in Babylon. Just stand with me and lift your hands to God and thank Him tonight. Thank Him. Thank You for saving me, God. Thank You for You changed Peter, James, and John, Moses, and David, and Ruth, and Rahab, and Abraham, and men throughout the New Testament. You changed Isaiah in Isaiah 6. He was unclean and undone, but his eyes saw the King. You changed Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3, 14 and 15. I sat where I sat, and I was amazed among them. You changed them. You did the changing. When God does the changing, it's forever. It's eternal. Eternal change has taken place. You've translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Your dear Son in Colossians 1:13. Thank You. You changed us. Praise Him tonight. Thank Him. Thank You. Say, thank You for changing me. And continue to do it. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I want to be transformed by the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the new man. I want to be transformed by grace changed. Father, thank You tonight. Pray that You bless our night. Thank You for conversion and change. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen. Amen.